Glory be to God forever. Anybody sense the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning? Has anybody sensed a strengthening of the presence of the Holy Spirit? It's getting better. And it's getting strong. I've sensed it. I know the Holy Spirit. I meet with Him every day. Hallelujah. Sometimes, many times a day. Especially when I'm right at wit's end. I back up a little. Go pray in tongues. Get the presence of the Holy Spirit on me again. Hallelujah. But it's getting stronger. Do you know there's no end to it? Until you're a quivering blob. And then it doesn't end. You can't even say uncle. Remember, you know, you're beating up on some kid in school. You never did that. I know that. When you twist somebody's arm or something and they can't take it anymore. What do they say? Kids? Uncle. Why do they say uncle? I mean, God will let up on you if you want Him to, but we don't want Him to, do we? Because we know whatever He's doing to us is good for us. Never say uncle. There's a good t-shirt. The gospel of wealth. You all right with that? Well, brother, I just don't believe that God wants people rich. I don't believe that it's God's will and that He does that. Well, as we're going to see today, that's what He does. That's who He is. God is wealth. He has no choice but to make you wealthy. You get in tune with Him, that's what He does. It's just what He does. He has no choice. Hallelujah. He can't make you poor. He doesn't have any poverty to give you. It's what He is. Why does He heal people? Because He's health. Jesus said, pray His will on the earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? That's our standard by which we judge everything here on earth with. Jesus said, pray for it to be on earth as it is in heaven. What does God have in heaven? I mean, we should just go through this and find out. And we all know these are things, just common sense here. There's no sickness in heaven. That wouldn't be heaven, would it? It wouldn't be heaven. You get there and you go, man, you show up in a leper colony in heaven. It just doesn't make sense. Wham, you die, you go to heaven, and you got leprosy all over. No! I think I'm in the wrong part. That would not be heaven. Right? You get up there, and all of a sudden you look at yourself, and you weigh 45 more pounds. And you're like, no! I went to the wrong place! Don't wake up there. Right? So are we talking, this is what I really got to get across to you today. This is my job today, to get across with whom you are dealing with. You are not dealing with a God. You're not praying to a God that has anything less than supernatural, glorious provision for you that comes from heaven. You know what Garden of Eden was? It was the outbreathing of heaven. That's what it was. He breathed out. When God breathed out and He created, all these things came from God. And He said it was good, Patrick. He created gold. It came out, it was good. He didn't create anything bad. So what's He going to do with your life? He's going to mess you up, brother. Start praying to God. He's going to put the grind on you. Rub your nose in it for a while till you repent. No, He doesn't have that. It's the goodness of God that will lead you to repentance. Here's $1 million. Repent. Okay. 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 Whatever you say, I'll do it. Right? What did Grandma used to say? A cup of sugar or something is better than, I don't, a teaspoon of sugar is better than a teaspoon of vinegar. What? To help people get something across to them. You want to say something nice. You want to butter them up before you let them know what you think about it. Right? It's a teaspoon of sugar that makes the medicine go down there. There's, you know, in the most delightful way. Hallelujah. I've been meditating on this for years. I mean years. If any of you know me, you've probably heard a lot of this stuff before. Well, too bad. You're going to hear it again. You guys came here. I didn't twist your arm. And I didn't lock the door yet. Chris, go lock the door. You guys ready? I'm excited about this. Do you know why? Because when we start to find out with whom we are dealing with, it doesn't become a problem anymore for us to believe for supernatural prosperity. He just breaks out and it's who he is. It's part of who he is. God is wealth. In him there is no poverty at all, none. So when you're praying to God, who are you praying to? The God of all wealth, who is wealth. He doesn't have anything else. Right? Is God Mr. Poor Mouth up there in heaven? Can't pay his bills? That's why the lights aren't on all day. They're just on half the day. He's running out. No. We have those thoughts. Then we need to get rid of them. And I'm telling you, the key to getting rid of them is knowing with whom you're in covenant with. We know what we've gone through already in this series. Hallelujah. I'm going to run right down them real quick. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Well, I don't know, brother, if there is prosperity in the gospel. I'm telling you, it's good news. If you're poor, this is good news. If it was just healing in the gospel, and you were poor, and you were healed, how's that good news to you? You're living in a cardboard box. Somebody preaches the gospel of healing to you, and you're like, I'm fine. I'm just living in a box. Can you help me out of this box? Yeah, let me introduce you to somebody. Yes. Who are you being introduced to? And some of this is harder on some people than other people because they have this religious tradition built up in their head that God doesn't want to give you anything. That's the way some rich people are too. They don't want to give you anything. Some person living hand to mouth, they come to, you know, and they leave a $15 tip on the table and all they had is a cup of coffee. And then the rich person comes in with a nice, bright, and shiny new Cadillac, and they leave like 25 cents. Why is that? Poverty. It's poverty. They have stuff, but they don't know God. And if I can get this across to you today, it's knowing him. He is wealth. He is wealth. When he made the covenant with Abraham, what did he give him in that covenant? Himself. Why? Because that's who he is. He is light. In him there is no darkness at all. All right. Way ahead of myself there. Are you there yet? 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be something. Rich. Look them up. Study those words out. Try to twist them and fit into a religious mold. They don't. Any way you look at them, you got to just rip them out of your Bible. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by grace are you saved. Right? And we know this on salvation, yes, so that when you die, your sins are forgiven, you go to heaven. We know that. But it's the same grace, not your good looks. We know this when it's regular salvation, right? We know this. It's not by our works, lest any man should boast. Well, is our wealth by our works then? No. Right? If it is, then you could boast, couldn't you? Because you were so smart and shrewd and you worked real hard and blah, 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 blah. It's different than when you get your wealth by the grace of God. He took poverty, the essence of it, away and gave you something. What did he give you? His wealth. Can you see, starting to see why it's so important to know what kind of wealth that this God lives in? Because what wealth is he giving you? Just worldly wealth? His wealth, which encompasses so much more than just your bills being paid. It's the essence of wealth. I like to make this illustration. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? It was a box, right? And it was dark inside. When you close the lid on a box, what happens? It gets dark in there. Very good. Is there any water in there? And there's just a limited amount of air. Is there any soil in there? Well, what happened when they took the rods? Remember Aaron's rod and all the other rods, and they put it in there, and they said, we're going to leave them there overnight and let the Lord choose who's going to be the high priest. Overnight, Patrick, the one, Aaron's rod budded, blossomed, and produced ripe almonds from a dead stick. No water, no light, no soil, just a box. What provided for the budding of that thing? What life went into that? It sprang back to life, didn't it? Was it dependent on the economy? Was it dependent on light? Was it dependent on anything else that we think we need to be dependent on to be productive in this world? So that he could work his way up to be the high priest? No. It was just God's grace, God's blessing, and it was everything you needed. If all of a sudden the air was gone in the world, we'd probably have a problem with that, wouldn't we? All the air sucked out of the earth. Somebody opened a hole in the sky and it just went out and surrounded the moon or something. I don't know. Where would our air, where could we breathe? Physically, no. But if we have the provision of God, that's wealth. Brother, whether you know it or not, when nobody else has anything and you do and it's coming to you supernaturally, that's wealth. That's the kind of wealth God has. He is wealth. He is your provision. And this kind of stuff is really hard to grab on with your head, but when it gets down onto the inside of you, you start laughing because you know that the person you're in covenant with is a something. He doesn't just have it. We'll go to a couple scriptures that said God is the, he created everything, right? The heavens and the earth. But then it says he possesses it. He owns it. It's his. Everything. He's the one you're in covenant with. This gets really funny after a while. He is wealth. He possesses everything and owns everything. He is it. And don't think he has a problem getting it to you. He doesn't. And he doesn't have a problem with giving it to you. And this is the other thing people got to get out of their heads. He doesn't have a problem because you're in covenant with him. Shame on him walking around on streets of gold. And you're his covenant partner. Your house should be made out of one solid brick of gold. Why? So you can be Mr. Puffed Up? No, it's by the grace of God. It's not because of your works. It's because of what he did to you. Trying to think about how to redesign your house now, huh? Your next house, one solid brick of gold. Now, let's see here. Hallelujah. Gates of pearls. Come on. That's just plain gaudy. Gaudy. All right. Did I even read that? Yeah, I did. Glory be to God. Then Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And let's pray. I want to get the Holy Spirit involved here. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy written word. We speak the blood of Jesus on this word and on our ears and on my tongue. Let us cooperate with you, Holy Ghost. Thank you that you are here right now. You're moving on people and you are changing their lives forever. We love you. We worship you. Let us see you for who you are, that we may walk with you in power in the earth today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Was there poverty in the curse? When Jesus was made poverty, what was he bearing? The curse. And he was bearing your poverty. And in exchange for that, you get what? His wealth. His wealth. Not just wealth, Patrick. And we think that because we have an understanding in our minds, but this isn't mental, this is spiritual. It was a spiritual exchange. Poverty for God's wealth. This is the covenant. Do we know the covenant's established on the cross? When we receive The cross. What was done on the cross. That's where the covenant was completed and shed. That's where the sacrifice was. He bore poverty, took it away. Whose poverty? Your poverty. And all the curse of the law. What else is there then? The blessing. Glory be to God forever, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And now turn over here. I do want you to look at this one. Genesis 14, 22. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And it's not about stuff. It's about covenant with God. I make this statement, it's, you know, people, if you have a way of measuring how much wealth you have and comparing it with anybody else, it's fatally flawed unless it is based on your relationship with God. It's how much God you have is how much wealth you have. Because He is wealth. Do you understand? Everything else could just look like wealth. We see people like movie stars and stuff like that. It looks like they have a nice house. Looks like they have a nice car. Looks like they have everything in order. When in reality, it's just death waiting to happen. It's a death trap. What do they usually do? End up dying in it. Why? It wasn't wealth. It didn't come from God. It wasn't the outbreathing of Him. You want the outbreathing of God into your life. His wealth. And what do we know about God's wealth? His blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The wealth of the world is what? Sorrowful. Stressful. That's why some of them leave and go live in a box. They'd rather have the box. They're just looking for peace, because no peace came with it. But when God outbreathes into you, watch out. There is nothing, there's no bad in it. God is light. In Him, no darkness at all. None. All right, glory be to God forever. You guys ready for this? Hallelujah. 22, Genesis 14, 22. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. Everybody say, the Most High God. The possessor of heaven and earth. Say, the possessor of heaven and earth. Who is the Most High God? Absolutely. What does Most High mean? Mostly high? Almost as high? That means there is no one higher. Most High means that's it. There's no one above Him. Plenty below Him, none above. And what we're going to see is that makes Him holy. Holiness is the attribute of being perfect and having no corruption. God's wealth, do you understand, is perfect with no corruption. Amen. That's the wealth He gives you. That's the wealth He promised you. Yes. Perfect wealth? I've never heard anything about that before. Well, welcome to church. We're going to get this across today, and I'm excited about it. It's going to be a seed down on the inside of you that begins to grow up. You're going to be people look at you, look at yourself in the mirror again and go, my goodness, who is that in there? Yeah. Glory be to God. Not your wealth, not worldly wealth. It's the outbreathing of God Himself, His wealth. No corruption. The Most High God. Look who He's lifting up His hand to. I, Abram, have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God. First of all, He calls Him Lord. Then He calls Him the Most High God, nobody below Him. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And now He's looking at this king of Sodom who might have had, you know, a whole bunch of sheep or something. He's like, brother, take your stuff. It stinks compared to what I have. Now, we either believe this or we don't. Who are we in covenant with? Abraham's blessing. The same blessing on Abraham is on you. What's the blessing? The covenant with the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Why? would you covet somebody else's car? Why would you covet somebody else's sheep and goats, camels back then, right? Or their house or anything else? Why? It's nothing compared to who you have a covenant with. That's why it's so vitally important for you to know who you're dealing with. We're not just dealing with Joe Blow who has $15 million. Big whoopity, $15 million is nothing. You're dealing, especially when you're in covenant with the tithe, with the living God. We get what we believe for, and we can't believe beyond what we know. So we need to know who God is. Dealing in real estate or any other kind of business, I don't care what it is. If it is created in the earth, if it's in the earth, and that's what we deal with, and buy and sell and all this other stuff, it belongs to God. He's the Most High. He has the ability to move it around. But it takes a person. A person being faithful, a person in the Word. And what does he do? The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Why? It's who he is. He can't do anything else. He can't not make you rich. You just have to not believe for it. You have to reject it almost. You're up in heaven. You're like, no, I'm coming over here. I'm going way to the outskirts of heaven. You can't even keep it off of you up there, can you? You're just automatically rich. You walk through the door. Even if you try to scooch up next to the wall and keep it off of you, can't keep it off of you, I'm telling you. God on you comes. We all were talking about that. The presence of God. What do you think that is? It's his glory beginning to manifest on you. And when we let him out into every area of our life, it will manifest as wealth. What's wealth in your body? Health. What's wealth in your mind? Clarity of mind. Man, how'd you get so smart? By the grace of God, his wealth in my head. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm getting all silly up here. Glory be to God forever. Did I read that? Yes, I did. Verse 22, Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lift up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 23, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. So he lifted up his hands to God and said that God was to make him rich. Who? The Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth and everything in the earth. So why would he take something? That's what he's saying. Unless you should say, oh, well, you gave me your shoelaces, so now you made me rich. No. God made me rich. You see what's going on here in Abraham? He's made such a commitment that he knows, number one, who is lorded. He knows who he is. He's the Most High. And he's the possessor of heaven and earth. And that's who he's in covenant with. Save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me, Abner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Get a different name, brother. Let them take their portion. Verse 1 of chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Who was Abraham's reward? He's the Most High. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. He could have gave him anything. What did he give him? Himself. God is wealth. That was the exchange. He gave Abraham gave him a tithe, and God gave himself to Abraham. All of himself. I am your reward. This gets really big. This is why I like meditating on it, because it just gets bigger and bigger, and it expands in you. Who are you dealing with? You're not dealing with, like I said, your uncle. You're not dealing with any man who, I was watching Warren Buffett. I saw him on the news last night. He's giving people financial advice. I'm like, where do you get your financial advice from? Warren Buffett compared to Almighty God, the Most High. Let me ask you a question. Is Warren Buffett the Most High? He's just maybe high, but he's not the Most High. That means somewhere in Warren Buffett, there's some corruption. He's not holy. God's wealth is holy. No corruption. That's the wealth he gave you. Incorruptible. It's almost ridiculous, isn't it? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. Numbers 24. Receive this in your spirit. It'll change your life. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 16. And hath said, which heard the words of God. What did he do? He heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes opened. This is talking about the prophet there. He heard the words of God. He knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes opened. So what is he talking about here? What happened to this guy? Yeah, he fell into a trance. He saw the vision of the Almighty, and he knew the knowledge of the Most High. So he came into an intimate knowledge of God. And I'm telling you, it's the key to prosperity. The gospel of wealth begins with knowing that God is wealth. Right? Paul prays a prayer in Ephesians 1:18. He says that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you could know something. This man fell into a trance, had a vision, and was given knowledge from the Most High. And what kind of knowledge? To know him. This is what we are to know. So if we're to know wealth, it is to know him as wealth. Does this make sense? Because I know, and this is one of those things you got to keep working on, because you start thinking of prosperity and wealth, you're thinking money. And we got to get that out of our head. Money only gets you so far. There are certain things you can't buy. Jesus ran into this many times. He had 5,000 people sitting out in, you know, on the grass waiting for something to eat. The disciples said, 200 denarii, is that enough to buy bread for even a little bit for everybody? He said, no, money couldn't get the job done. But knowing God is wealth. The need was still met. Where? From his riches and glory. What do you care if you got any money at all in your pocket? If God tells you to go and buy something, obviously he's going to make a way to have it bought. We're not dependent on the structure of these worldly things. When you know where your source is. Who is your source? He's the Most High. That's it. The Most High. He gave you his wealth. It's uncorruptible. It's Most High. We corrupt it by trying to put dollar signs on it. Is this starting to get through your head and down into your spirit? Because this is not something you can grab with your head. The Most High? Incorruptible wealth? It's like I've said before, like absolute zero. You can't get there. Science can't make it happen. There's always that one, you know, 0.00000009 speck of heat. Same thing with gold. They can't refine it to get that last corruption out of it. And like I've said before, what happens? You get that last corruption out of it. It turns transparent. How do you know? I don't. But that's my theory. Why? Because the gold in heaven is transparent. He calls it gold. He says it's transparent. Well, we don't have that on earth. You know why? Because there's no corruption in heaven. That's your wealth. That's where your wealth comes from. That's the wealth that was given to you. It's supernatural. That's why it's not natural. You're not dependent on the natural, so that you're not dependent on what works. And it's by grace and by faith. Amen. Right? Well, if you just work harder, brother. No. You just need to have the knowledge of the Most High, that He is wealth. He is. That's He. He's it. What do you got in your pocket? God. What's in your wallet? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Let's read that again. Numbers 24:16. He hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance and having his eyes open. You may wonder where I get this, and I hesitate to share this, but you know what? I figure God gave it to me. You got to do with it whatever you want. All right? I'm not puffing myself up. I had nothing to do with it. It was given to me, so I'm sharing it. All right? This was before I went to Rhema. But I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I was seeking God, and I'd heard about praying the Word. Pray the Word. You ever heard that? This was big back in the, 80s maybe? Early 80s. It was a big movement. Oh, pray the Word. Pray the Word. So what you do, and when you're praying the Word, you take a verse of Scripture, Psalms or whatever, and you pray it in the first person. When David says, hey, I worship the Lord, you put your name in there, and you say, Andrew, I worship the Lord. And you pray the Word. So, I did that. I picked the longest chapter I could find. It was Psalms 119, 176 verses. Now I was going to pray it. Glory to God, if it took me all week. I got down on my knees in my bedroom, and I began. About halfway through, my bed disappeared. My room disappeared. My Bible disappeared. Everything disappeared. And I was somewhere else. And I found myself face down in this large room. And I knew there were people beside on each side of me. There was 14 people there that I could tell. I knew there were others, but there were 14 people there. We were all face down. I didn't dare look up. But I knew up in front of me was the throne of God. And I knew on each side were some kind of creatures. Once again, I didn't look up. But I found myself saying, holy, holy, holy. And that's the only thing I dared say. Otherwise, it would have been, woe is me, and what am I doing here? And as quick as it happened, as quick as it disappeared, and I was back praying the Word again. Once again. But in that moment, I was given what I'm telling you today. Knowledge of the Most High God. He is wealth. He doesn't have wealth. He is it. He is that. And when he breathed out into the Garden of Eden, that's what he breathed out. And that's why he says it is good. When he breathes out into your life, it's going to be the same thing. He doesn't have anything else to give you. And we've been missing it by asking him for anything less than this. This is the wealth he has given you. When he took your poverty, you got his wealth. And I, once again, this is something you can't grab onto it with your head. Because we always, well, what does that mean? Does that mean $100,000 a year? Right? Your mind, we've been trained that way. No, it is so much more than that. So much, you mean more than 100? Stop it! It is the essence of wealth. It is what made that stick bloom and produce ripe almonds. Out of nothing, Patrick. Nothing. There was nothing in that box except God. God prospered it. Get God involved in your finances. That's wealth. That is wealth. That's the essence of wealth. What are the figures? I don't know. Who cares? The point is, it's blessing with no corruption. Comes from God. I think you got some of that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. 1 Chronicles 29:11. First Chronicles 29 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Right? For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Oh, wait a minute. You mean my car? But watch out when you start saying my. If you're in covenant with God, and even people who aren't in covenant with him, guess what? It's still his. His is the power. His is the greatness. And I used to meditate on this a lot. Hallelujah. His is the greatness, the standard, the measure of excellence. It's the standard by which all things are judged. He's the Most High. Do you understand? That's the standard by which everything else underneath it is judged. Not as high. Well, that's mostly high. That's kind of high. That isn't high at all. You know? Most high. That's the standard by which all other things are judged. So his wealth is the standard. You all right with this? For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above what? Do we know who we're dealing with? Who is your God? Who are you in covenant with? Can he do something for you? Is it profitable to be in covenant with him? Verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee. Didn't say from, it said come of him. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. This is what he does. This is who you're in covenant with. That's your future. The more you know him, the more you must walk like this. And we don't need to be ashamed of it. We don't need to hide it. We need to say that this is what God did. Glory be to God. And we're going to get into this in the future, hopefully, Lord willing, about the glory. His glory on you, not your glory. The glory of God is what? Is it corruptible? It includes wealth. It is heaven, okay? It is where he lives. All right, quickly go over with me. Isaiah 57:15. We're starting to see with whom we have to do. We're starting to see the God that we're dealing with. And he's not holding out on you. You've been holding out on him. Chapter 57, 15, Isaiah. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Okay, who are we dealing with? The Most High God, he dwells where? In the high and holy place. Holy being not corruptible. Is God's wealth corruptible? Where does he dwell? In the high and poor place? No, he's dwelling in the high and holy place, people. Is it low? He's the Most High. Do you understand? He can't do anything else. He can't live in the low place. He lives and dwells. Dwells means he lives there. You want to see his house? It's ridiculous, brother. We could complain about that for years. All the rooms. And the gold that you can see through. That's why he doesn't make the walls out of gold, you know. No. It's the floor. Hallelujah. Being goofy. You got to get this, people. You are dealing with somebody who is it. He is the standard. He dwells in the high and holy place. There's no corruption there. It's it. You can't think of anybody, Warren Buffett, come on. Or any of these other guys, Bill Gates, or they're play acting. Like guys in the sandbox with their little trucks. My truck's bigger than your truck. I'm gonna take over your truck. In light of what we're talking about here today, it's goofiness. We're dealing with the Most High who dwells in the high and holy place. And look at what he says next. And this is where it blows you away. I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Do we understand what we're talking about here? We understand we're talking about the Most High God and where he dwells and where he lives and who he is and what he is doing. Do we understand this? I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. With him also. Where are you to be? How could that be? It's through the cross and the blood and the transfer of your poverty onto the cross and him giving you his wealth. What kind of wealth are you to walk in? Well, just, a good salary would be nice. No, you're thinking wrong. You are to dwell in his wealth, which is incorruptible. It's unfathom. Can you fathom the wealth of God? Well, they can't fathom your wealth either. How is it? Because your wealth is his wealth. It's not your wealth. Brother, this is too much for me. I know it's too much for your head, but it's spiritual. And where do these things come? They come from the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. It is of utmost importance for you to know from whom and from where your blessings come from. I'm going to read a little bit of this. I hope you don't mind. I wrote this several years ago. It's actually on our website, HolyGhostSociety.org, as a book. It's called The Gospel of Wealth. And I wrote it so I can read it. Listen with your spirit. Holiness encompasses all that God is. He is holy. And we understand that holiness is incorruptible by nature. It can't have anything come into it that is not pure. Holiness encompasses all that God is. Holiness is the attribute that makes God God. Holiness is the defining agent that sets him apart from the almost as high or some other being. There can only be one Most High. It's holiness. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present, the best, the greatest, the most. These traits can belong to only one, and that one is therefore holy. Holiness is what God is. Everything he is, does, or has to do with, begins and ends with this pure holiness. If it isn't holy, it's not from God. If he's going to give you a holy curse, brother, you're cursed. He doesn't have it, though, and we'll see that here. Hallelujah. The gospel of wealth begins with an understanding of true holiness. Holiness is purity in its purest state. Holiness is absolute perfection, absolute freedom from corruption, incorruptible by nature. Holiness is marked by being or possessing the most, the best, the greatest, or everything, without limitation or equal. In short, holiness is God himself. That's why we have many scriptures. I had like five of them written down, and I shortened them down to one. Why? Because we don't have that much time. But he said he owns everything. The heaven, the earth, everything under the earth, everything in the earth, everything. Why? Because he's holy. He's the holy one, the possessor of heaven and earth. It doesn't belong to anybody else. At any given time, he can just take it away. It's good news for you. How am I going to get that? Walk with God. His wealth will take care of it. Nothing can be half holy. It is or it isn't. You understand that? Can't be half holy. One can only be the most high. Only one can be the greatest. These words confine all the others to an unavoidable lower rank, not quite as high or mostly great. Whatever the attribute, whatever the condition, if it's of God, it's incorruptible, complete, it is holy. So if we're talking about wealth, God's wealth, what are we talking about? Holy wealth. Now, somebody will say, what about, you know, the filthy lucre? Right, that's worldly wealth. But God's wealth is not filthy. It's not corruptible. Do you understand? We're dealing with a completely different thing. You can't serve God and mammon, but you serve God, and the mammon serves you. Comes with him. It's wealth. It comes with him. It can't not, do you understand? It can't not come with him. That's why when people break this up and they say, well, you know, yes, you can believe and you can die and go to heaven and blah, 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 blah. You can't walk with God and not be blessed. And that's why we see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these guys, they get in covenant with God and it just breaks out on them. When they obey God and do what he says. The life of God is holy, for in him there is no death at all. The light of God is holy, for in him there is no darkness at all. The wealth of God is holy, for in him there is no poverty at all. Do we understand that? There's none in there. Who are you walking with? Don't ask him for anything less than what he has. It's an insult. Creation was the outbreaking of heaven's perfection into the natural realm. All wisdom, wealth, beauty, and glory came from one prime source, heaven. And in the beginning was God. All creation came from that one infinite storehouse, God himself. He didn't create corruption, sickness, and all this other stuff. Holiness came out of him. Talk about God, you're talking about wealth. Talk about wealth, you're talking about God. They are one and the same, for God is the author and source of all that is. Hallelujah. Almost done here. The true measure of how much wealth a person has is based on how well connected they are with the Almighty. Any other measurement is fatally flawed. Having God is having wealth. This is why God gave Abram himself when they entered into covenant. God is wealth. In him there is no poverty at all. Glory be to God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Well, brother, I didn't know any of that. Well, get ready. You didn't know much about God anyway, did you, when you first came into knowing him? You just knew something. Actually, probably you knew you needed something because you were so miserable. But then you learned something about him. And then you learned something else about him. And then it just got better and better. This is just part of the better. The more we know of him, the more he will be able to manifest in our life. I'm telling you, he's going to manifest himself as no poverty in your life, as holy wealth. Why? Because you're learning. You're seeing it now. You can believe now. This is who you're in covenant with, Carlene. You're in trouble. Holy trouble. Glory be to God forever. Like a holy terror. Hallelujah. People, businesses should be shaking in their boots. They see you show up at their doorstep with your checkbook in your hand. You look down there on the bottom line to see how much you got in there, and it's just three letters, G-O-D. Matthew 19:17, you there? Glory be to God forever. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Here come the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and said, Good master. He said, Good. You're good. Good master. He said, No. Why are you calling me good? Well, he didn't say no, but he said, Why are you calling me good? There's none good but one. What does that make him? Holy. There's only one who's wholly good. So Jesus, I think, was asking him the question, Do you know this? Is this knowledge you have? Can we like communicate here on the same line? Obviously, he didn't know it. Because what was he upset about? Having to get rid of his stuff. Jesus said, Go sell what you have and give to the poor. If you know that God is wholly good, you won't have a problem. Do you see? Jesus was operating on a different level than this poor dude. Poor? He was rich. No, he was poor because he did not see that God was good. The source of all good. Holy good. But you're seeing it. Glory be to God forever. James 1:17. Why do you use so many scriptures, brother? I don't know. Because there's so many in this book. Hallelujah. James 1:17. Every good gift. Now, what did he just say? He called him good. There's only one good. Only one that lives in that holy goodness. There's only one. This is why you get in his presence. All you can say is holy, holy, holy. What is he? Holy good. He's holy wealth. He's holy, holy life. He's holy everything. He's just holy, holy. That's what the angels are saying. Holy. What else are you going to say? It's it. He's the essence of everything. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Do we understand that? It's good and perfect. If it's good and perfect, it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The good and perfect gift is coming down from somewhere. Who? God, who is good. He's the Father of lights. He's not turning from it. He doesn't vary. That's another translation says that he doesn't vary from this. Why doesn't he vary from this? He can't. If he did, he would be corrupted. He wouldn't be God. This is who you're dealing with. When you're praying to God, who are you praying to? When you go, Father, who art in heaven, who are you praying? You're praying to this guy. He's holy. And every good and every perfect gift comes down from him. And there is no shadow of turning, no variableness, and no shadow of turning, meaning he's turning from one side to the other. He is not. He's straight on good. There's only one that's good. That's God. He's straight to you. He's straight on good, and he's holy with every good and perfect gift. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What would you call this by our new definition? Holiness of light. Remember, no shadow of turning. Why? Because there's no darkness at all in him. Right? And this is, they say, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And we have fellowship one with another. What's in the light? There must be some corruption somewhere in there. Do you think there's prosperity in the light? There's love in the, there's everything good. Why? Because God is good. There is none good but God. And when you walk in the light, you're walking in love. You're walking in the goodness. You're walking in the wealth. You're walking in all that God has and is. God is wealth. There is no poverty at all. There is no darkness at all. There is no hatred at all. There is no strife at all. There's no sickness at all. Walk in the light. As he is in the light. Jesus is Lord. So we've established that this is holy light. Do we understand where our blessing is coming from? From, down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect thing that you can receive from him comes from somewhere. From someone. And we've established that pretty well, I hope. It's coming from the guy who has it all. Who is it all. He lives in glory with nothing unglorious there. It's just pure glory. It is the absolute standard on which everything else is judged because it's below that. So it comes down from him to you. He's the one with whom you're in covenant with. Right? Coming down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Luke 11:2. Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. And he, Jesus, said unto them, when you pray, say. When you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Where is heaven? What's in heaven? What's it like in heaven? Holy. It's holy. Thank you. It's holy in heaven. It's pure. There is no corruption there. Where are you praying? To your Father who is in this holy place. Our Father which art in heaven. Holy is your name. Who are you praying to? The guy who lives there and he's holy. And he's not only holy just there, remember, he owns everything on earth too. Who are you in covenant with? This living, almighty, most holy God. Don't tell me prosperity's not in the gospel. Are you kidding me? Then they don't have any idea who they're dealing with. And that's why it's so important that you understand this. You know who you're dealing with. It's your Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Holy is your name. Oh, goodness. Look what he says. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. He's telling you when you pray, say this. Say it. My Father, who's in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done as in heaven, so in earth. As in heaven. Is that prosperity? That is wealth. His will in heaven is wealth, right? In heaven, it's wealth. On earth, then his will has to be extreme glory and wealth in your life. His quality. Not just quantity, his quality of wealth. Because we know people that have quantity that have no quality. The quantity is his, and that's what makes it holy. Glory be to God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One last scripture, 1 Peter 1:16. I know I'm dumping a lot on you here this morning, but glory be to God forever. I believe that this is just absolutely vital to knowing the gospel of wealth. You got to know who it is you're dealing with and what kind of wealth we're talking about. We're not just talking about pay raises. I believe in pay raises. But only to the point where it consumes everything. And you know that's where we're going. I hope you know that. The Bible says that this kingdom is going to rule over all and it's going to consume everything. Because that's the only thing holiness can do. Do you understand? It's the only thing holiness can do. It's like a beast you let out of a box, the only thing it can do, and it will not stop until it consumes everything. It's like leaven. You think anybody said anything about the kingdom of God being leaven? What did it do? It multiplied until it consumed the entire loaf. This will consume you, and it will consume everything around you. It has to, or it's not holy. When you get a hold of this, you got to start seeing yourself through different eyes. Stop praying for a pay raise. Start praying, God, if this is holy wealth, I have to have the whole company or I'm going to work somewhere else. Amen. You're either going to give me the whole company or this isn't of you. You think I'm kidding. God is a consuming fire. This kingdom will consume. It has to, or it's not. You know, yell at me if you want. This is what holiness of wealth is. It has to be. Why is God so jealous? Why can't he be like, you know, the second best? Because he would be not holy anymore. He has to be the most high. He has to be there. Well, isn't that arrogant? I guess it, so what? He's God. He can be arrogant if he wants. What's his people going to be like then? Are they representing him? He's the most high. He has to be in front. Why did he say that I will bless you above all people on the earth? He could have just said, I'll bless you and everybody will think you're great. He said, I must bless you and you must be the head of all things. You must be the lender and not the borrower. You will be above only and not beneath. These are the words of holiness. It's the only kind of blessing God could put on you. Get ready. You have to be the head. Am I making this up? I think you're starting to understand that this is the kind of language God speaks. He has to speak this way because he's Almighty God. He is the Most High. He is holy. His wealth must be holy in you, and it must produce what he is in the earth, which is the Most High. And it's different from just excellence, and I understand in business realms and all, we strive for excellence. And well, excellence is good, but it is not the most excellent. It carries that quality, and I hope to go here next week. Solomon's temple, it wasn't just that there was so much wealth. There was something about it. There was some aura, to use a really bad word, something about it that made people realize the holiness of God was here. An unearthly perfection pervaded the place. That's a lot of peas. That's what made the queen, she was familiar with wealth. She's the queen. So a bunch of gold's not going to bother her, but when she saw, and she said, and it says it specifically, she saw the way they were dressed, she saw the attendance of the servants, she saw the way the table was laid out, she saw everything around her, it made her almost fall down. She said, oh my God. Why? Because it's God manifesting himself. Holiness of wealth. And what did that kingdom do? It consumed everything around it. All the gold came in. It just came in by the truckload. You'll know when you hit it, when people are backing trucks up to your doorstep, unloading the, you know, ingots. I just put them out back. I don't have time to count them. And the silver, get rid of the silver. Who's got time for that? That was not just man's wisdom. And what and the Bible clearly says it. It was God's wisdom that made him this way. What? Holy wisdom. Holy wealth was beginning to manifest itself in Solomon's temple. Well, people, whose temple are you? Yeah. Well, we're just something else now. Yeah, you're something else. You're now the temple of who? Some other God? Are you the temple of the living God? The Holy Ghost. That's who you are. You have no choice. If you're serving him but to consume whatever's in your path and to become the head and not the tail. It's marked. You're marked. You're marked. Get over it. Goodness gracious. Until the point where they have to kick you out of the country because you're too big. Go buy some other country. Leave us alone. I'm not just making this up. I mean, I realize, you know, we're striving for this, right? Let's look at this scripture up here. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is a commandment, and it's not just written one place. He's quoting from Psalms. This is all over your Bible. Be you holy. Well, how can you be something when you don't have knowledge of what it is? And we just described what holiness of wealth is. This is who God is. He is wealth. Be you as he is. How are you going to do that? In your own power? I don't think so. It's through his power. It's by grace and by faith. That's how we're saved. That's where the transfer comes from. You give him. Give him your poverty. He took it away. And he gives you his holiness of wealth. Glory be to God forever. We're going to end this by taking up an offering. And I didn't do that to try to milk some more money out of you. Goodness gracious. Man, if I could just preach on this, we'll milk them. We'll fleece them. No. There's a reason I did it this way. Because I want to give into it too. Hallelujah. Milk and honey. That's right. Pass out the milk and honey. Last week we talked about the covenant of the tithe. And we called it the third element. And the more I started laughing about that, then I started realizing that's exactly what it is. And then I was talking to Rich about it. I was thinking, okay, when we take the bread and the wine or the grape juice, whatever we use, is it something that he supernaturally gave us? Or did we go and take a piece of our own bread and a glass of our own wine and then partake? Did we? We would think that. Well, in reality, everything in the earth is his anyway. You're just taking a piece of something that's his. That's why we thank him for the bread. It's still his. So we're taking, so the tithe, we think, oh, we're taking some of our income and we're giving it back to him. No, we're taking a piece of it that was already his and we're giving it back to him. What are we doing though? We're partaking of something. When you take of the wine, you're partaking of what? The blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins in that new covenant, the covenant that's in his blood. When you partake of the bread, what are you partaking of? By his stripes you were healed. Him taking your sickness and bearing it, and you receive health. You're partaking of his health. When you take the wine, you're partaking of his righteousness and his holiness. When you give the tithe, what are you doing? You're partaking of his wealth. In the same way, you're receiving and partaking from his holiness of wealth. It's the third element. Did anybody get that? So it's not something, it's like an obligation. Oh, I hate that. No, it's not. You're just taking something that he gave you and using it in remembrance of him. And he says this, same word, in remembrance. You're bringing the tithe, you put it in remembrance of him, and you're partaking of his divine wealth. And from that moment on, when you put it in the plate or the bucket, from that moment on, you are partaking, and you should say nothing else out your mouth other than that, I live and walk in the wealth of the Most High God. I've lift up my hand to the Most High God, that no one made me rich except Almighty God. Why? Because there's nothing below that can bother you anymore. God makes me wealthy. God has made me wealthy in him, his wealth, holiness of wealth. Same way as you partake of his health, same way as you partake of his righteousness. When you tithe, you're partaking of his holiness of wealth, and that's who you become. Who do you become when you receive the bread? You become the healed of the Lord. Who do you become when you take of the wine? when you partake of it. You become the righteousness of God in Christ. Who do you become when you partake of the tithe? You become the wealthy of the Most High God, the blessed of the Lord. Glory be to God. So hallelujah. With that said, we're going to receive an offering. Hallelujah. And if it's a tithe, and if it's an offering, but especially if it's a tithe, treat it as the third element in a sacrament. Did I make that clear enough? Because that's exactly what it is, the third element. And you're not giving, you're literally receiving. Amen. When you gave that little piece of bread,
I had to give up a little piece of bread for communion.
Oh, come on. I had to give up 10%. Oh, come on. Do you know what you're doing? You're partaking of the wealth of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Ready? We're going to pray over it. Father, in Jesus' name, right now we're partaking of your wealth as a third element in communion with you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the opportunity to receive and to be in covenant with you. You are the Most High God. You are the creator of heaven and earth and the owner and possessor of everything in it and on it. We thank you that we are now in covenant with you and we receive your wealth for our poverty. We receive your wealth into our life right now in Jesus' name. And from this day forward, we are the blessed of the Lord and the wealthy of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.